I'd invite you now to the rest of you to please stand as we share in our gospel reading for today. If this is your first time with us throughout this year, 2018, we as a congregation have been sharing in a congregation-wide Bible reading program with a different theme each week. And our theme this week is the theme of resources. And this passage I'm reading was not one of our readings this week, but I just liked it better than the ones that we were reading, so I picked it. And so hear these words that may be familiar to you from Matthew chapter 25, and we'll begin at verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability, then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, "Master, you gave me 5. Now I've lost my place. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 5 more." His master replied, "Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me." The second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me." Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, you have what's yours." His master replied, "You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown, that I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the bankers so that when I return, you could give me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to the one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him outside into the darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes in your bulletin, and I would invite you to take those out and to follow along as we go through this message together. Perhaps you've seen them downstairs in our fellowship hall. Thanks to our church historians, Carvel Markley and Tom Mulliken, we have photos of almost every pastor that has served First Church from our founding in 1830 all the way to the present time. And many of these pictures, when you look at them, they just make you laugh. The hairstyles, the facial hair, the clothing, each reflects the era in which this particular pastor served. And some of those United Brethren preachers have some pretty stern looks on their faces. I don't think people were supposed to smile for pictures until up about 50 years ago or something. But not to worry, in his photo from the 1980s, our Reverend Dr. Shover has a big smile on his face. And the mug shots of Pastor John and me, we're smiling too. You know, looking at those old pastor photos downstairs, I also think of the congregations that have served with them over the past 188 years in this community. Bold steps of faith were taken. Sacrifices were made. Buildings were built, like this beautiful sanctuary, which was built in 1911. And I also think about how many children and youth have come to know Jesus through this church. How many people have been inspired by the music and the preaching of this church. How many have made lifelong friendships in the fellowship of this church? How many lives have been transformed by teaching God's word in Sunday school and small groups and spiritual renewal events? And I think about all the people across all those years who have been cared for, shown compassion in difficult times. And how many of God's children with special needs and their loved ones have been blessed by things like the Rejoicing Spirit service and the Day of Pampering? How many toddlers have experienced God's love through our Little Friends Day preschool? How many hurting people have been given hope because of our passion for being involved in mission out in the community and around the world? As I look at those old preacher pictures and imagine generations of people committed to making disciples for Jesus, it reminds me of how faithful our God is. In every season, always, God has provided everything this congregation has needed to accomplish that which God proposed. Many of you, I'm sure, had a chance to visit over at the Mission and Ministry Fair this morning. There were more than 30 different displays, an opportunity to fill your pockets with candy and other goodies, but even more, to see what God is doing in and through the life of this church. To God be the glory. This morning, as we look at this great parable of Jesus in Matthew 25, I invite you to join me as we turn the page. You know, God calls us in this parable to turn the page from the question, can I trust God, to the question, can God trust me? Now, we know that we can trust God. The question is, can God trust us? Can God trust us to take the bold step, to make the sacrifice, to continue the good work of our ancestors? Now, this parable of the talents is a long one, and it has so many different lessons in it. So today, I'm just going to focus on two things that Jesus wants us to know, and two things that Jesus calls us to do as a result of what we know. So first of all, the two things that Jesus wants us to know. Number two in your notes. Wise stewards know all they have comes from God. All we have comes from God. Now, is that really true? Is all that I have really God's gift to me? I mean, haven't I had something to do with what I have? I've worked hard. I've gone to school. I've put in the hours. I've made the sacrifices. And I know that you have worked hard too. And you've managed your resources wisely. You've had a lot to do with where you are in life. But in reality, there are certain things in your life and mine that we had nothing to do with. You didn't control when you were born, or where you were born, or who your parents were. There were so many opportunities afforded you in your life that you had absolutely nothing to do with. God gave you the ability to learn, gave you talents for your work. Everything is God's gift. Several months ago, I saw this brief video clip called God's Pie, and I invite you to look at it this morning.
Bye.
Brought the pie. It's something like this, I think, that Jesus tells us right here at the very beginning of this parable. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a man leaving on a trip, and he called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. As Christians, we believe that all that we have is not really ours. It's been given to us, entrusted to us, to use while we were here on earth. It was God's before we had it, and it will be God's when we're gone. Just think about what God has put in your hands. God has put this day in your hands. This one unrepeatable day that you will never experience again in your hands. God has put your marriage, your family, your friendships in your hands. Our children and grandchildren are not really ours. They're God's kids. They were God's before God put them in our hands. God gave them to us to take care of, to raise them up in the way that they can go and be all that God created them to be. God has put this church in your hands. This building is God's, and God has called us to be good stewards of it. God has put the children of this church, the youth of this church, our young adults, our older adults, in your hands and entrusted you to build a loving community. God has put time and talent and treasure in your hands and has entrusted you to make the most of these things for His kingdom. God has put so much in your hands and in mine. Wise stewards know that all we have comes from God. Now, the second truth in this parable is this. Wise stewards know God blesses us for God's purposes. Verse 15 tells us, to one he gave five valuable coins, to another he gave two, to another he gave one. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability, and then he left on his journey. God blesses us for God's purposes. In his book, The Genius of Generosity, Chip Ingram describes an encounter he had with a man named John Seville. Now, their encounter changed both of their lives. John Seville was a very wealthy member of Chip's congregation, and there was one day that John invited Chip to go to lunch at this kind of exclusive restaurant. And John said, "Chip, what I'd like you to do is, I'd like to put $5,000 in a checking account, and I'd like to give it to you because you have a lot of opportunity to see needs that I don't usually get to see. I'm going to give you $5,000, and then I want you to be my eyes and ears and help people as God leads you." So Chip went out. And, you know, when you're using someone else's money, he said, you're incredibly careful about what you're going to use it for. And Chip said that every few months he'd go back and meet John Seville for lunch. And he'd report what he'd done with John's money. And John would be thrilled with all the people that were cared for. And he'd put another $5,000 in the pastor's account. And it would be used to help more people in need. Now that's, I think, what God does for you and me. God blesses us far more than we could ask or imagine, and asks us to use God's resources to bless others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "God has enriched you in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion. God has enriched you in every way, with your time, with your abilities, with your money, so that you can be enriching others on every occasion." Jesus reminds us here that it's time for us as his disciples to turn the page. To turn the page from "Can I trust God?" because we know we can, to "Can God trust me?" Wise stewards know all they have comes from God, and they know God blesses us for God's purposes. Now, there are two things that Jesus also calls us to do as a result of what we know. Number four in your notes, wise stewards are called to turn the page from greed to gratitude. You remember these next few verses of the story. After the man left, the servant with five valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them, and he gained five more. In the same way, the one with two valuable coins gained two more. But the servant who had received the one valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, if you're taking notes, and if you're like me and you like to underline phrases in the Bible that connect with you, I would encourage you to underline these two phrases in those verses. In verse 16, underline the phrase, "took them and went to work doing business with them." And in verse 18, underline the phrase, "dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money." Now, as we look at these verses and underline those phrases, we notice that there is a connection between what the servants do with the master's money and how they view the master. The servant with one talent digs a hole and buries his master's money because he believes that the master is harsh and critical, and that if he loses that one talent, he'll be punished for it. The other servants, however, go enthusiastically to work with the master's money because they believe their master is oh so generous. They want to share in the master's joy and invest the master's money to build his kingdom. Jesus calls us to turn the page from protecting what we've got, from hoarding it out of fear and a sense of scarcity, to giving generously with a grateful heart. Jesus also tells us that if wise stewards know God blesses us for God's purposes, then number 5, we will turn the page from consumers to contributors. Consumers ask, how can I increase my level of living? Contributors ask, how can I increase my level of giving? Now we might ask ourselves, in every area of life, am I a consumer or am I a contributor? We have so many people involved in ministries in this church. And some might look and say, you know, things are getting done. The church doesn't need me. Or they might say, I've served my time. Let someone else do it. But this is so far from truth, because God has uniquely designed each and every one of us to be the person we are, and has put us in this congregation for the purpose of offering what we have to build God's kingdom here. Perhaps in terms of your financial giving, you say, well, it looks like we're still paying the bills, and we're continuing to do this, that, and the other thing. The church doesn't really need me to give. I can hold on to what I got. And that is so far from the truth. Because as Christian disciples, we do not give on the basis of the church's need. We give on the basis of our need to give as a part of our spiritual growth. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask our ushers to distribute commitment cards for our ministry and mission for 2019. And you'll notice when you look at this card that there's nothing on it about the church budget. There's nothing on it about your fair share as a member of this church in order to meet the church budget. Now, we're anticipating an increase in our plan for funding ministry for next year. God is calling us to continue to grow in our ministry and mission. And in December, after the administrative board approves the budget, copies will be available for all of us to see. But the church budget is not the primary factor to consider when you prayerfully consider how much to give. The most important factor is what portion of God's blessings to you, you will give for God's good work. When we hand out the commitment cards, I'm going to point out to you 3 boxes at the bottom of the card. And one of them will say, my gift represents a step toward tithing. And the one next to it will say, my gift represents a tithe. And the one next to that will say, my gift represents a step beyond tithing. And those boxes are there on the commitment card to remind us of God's goal for our giving. The tithe. the first 10% of all that God has given us is the biblical basis for giving. Now, for some of you, if you're not yet in the practice of setting aside that first 10%, tithing may be a goal, something that you'll continue to step up toward over the next several months or next few years. For some of you, you have the resources to tithe, but you have not yet put God first in that area of your life. Perhaps today for you is the time to turn the page and step up. For still others, God has blessed you with such an abundance that you're able to give even more than 10% to accelerate the work of God's kingdom here. You know, we don't have to wait until we meet our Maker after this life is over. We can answer today what we are doing with what God has given us. The witness of our pastors and the people who served with them across nearly 200 years of ministry has now been passed on to you and to me. It's time. Today is the day for us to turn the page. To turn the page from asking only, can I trust God, to asking ourselves, can God trust me with what God has given me? My prayer is that because of your joy in giving, because of your enthusiasm for multiplying the talents that God has given you, that you will hear what those two servants heard in this parable. Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. Come, celebrate with me.